Welcome to the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. I am Jake Skorheim, host of Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. Alongside me today is Greg Tomlin. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, will we be diving into the news or cannonballing into the news today?
How does he normally do this? He's naked, right, when he jumps in the water?
What? Listeners aren't able to tell us the beauty of radio.
Oh, okay. Well, I think he's normally naked, or he's dancing naked. I don't know. He's got some weird stories.
We're going to do our own thing today.
John Curley and Sherry Ellicker.
We're naked right now.
Sounds about right.
There he is. Horrible mental image. John Curley and Sherry Ellicker, they're both off today. So you guys get the B team. You get me and Greg. Also, Joe is gone today, so we got Chris Martin filling in. Andrew's still here. He's part of the A squad.
We're going to work hard for that B+.
Yeah. So thank you guys for tuning in. Welcome to the show. There's a lot of news to get to. Do you guys just want to jump right into it? Let's just get to it.
Let's go.
All right. This morning, another pot shop was broken into. This is the second pot shop in 2 days. I find this really fascinating. I'm very interested in this story. Kate Stone will tell us a little bit about it, and then we'll get into it.
Story building along the busy Marginal Way South Michigan Street intersection now has plywood covering a gaping hole in the side wall. Police haven't said much about the suspects, just that they appear to have used a red Dodge pickup to smash in, then got away in a white sedan. No word yet on who may have done this or what they may have taken, but this is the second pot shop smash and grab I've been on the scene of in the past 2 days. One yesterday morning at Canazone in the Soto District had several suspects and a black Hyundai involved. No arrests in either case yet.
So we're seeing this happen all the time. As Kate mentioned there, this is the second one in 2 days. This one, this one was the Reef Dispensary, Reef Cannabis Dispensary, sometime before 5 a.m. this morning. A red Dodge pickup halfway through the side of the building. What's crazy to me about these pot shop break-ins is, do you remember this happening even 2 years ago? Were you hearing these stories at all?
No, I think clearly the word is out amongst criminals that these establishments must be soft targets and easy scores, because the frequency and the rate at which we're seeing this now is incredible. I mean, I could probably name at least a dozen in the past few months of these occurrences. No, don't you dare try to jog my memory. But yeah, something clearly needs to be done here. I was thinking about, you know, what these businesses could do to try to prevent this stuff or implement something to act as a deterrent.
You mean like in front of Target, they have those giant concrete barriers, so, you know, they look like Target balls.
So exactly right. Like we have a sports cards and memorabilia store that my family likes to frequent, and they just moved to a brand new, bigger, new and improved location. And the front of the store is just glass from ground to ceiling. And our first time going there, I noticed, oh, man, there's these huge boulders right in front of the store. And
placement.
At first I thought that must be ornamental or a way to beautify the space because they're kind of imposing, but they look cool. Upon further reflection, about 30 seconds later, I said to myself, that's a way to deter criminals from breaking in there in the dead of night with their pickup truck or their Kia or whatever and getting an easy score with all the sports memorabilia they have in there. And I think maybe that's a precaution that some of these pot shops can start doing if they have the means and if it's legal to do. I'm not sure about the law in every, you know, jurisdiction on that. But
what's interesting to me is I feel like we're only hearing about this with pot shops. I mean, I know they're breaking into other stores. They're probably breaking into, you know, convenience stores, things like that too. But it would seem to me that they're going after what's in the pot shops, which would be, I don't go in pot shops a ton, but I'm assuming there's a lot of pot. And I'm assuming there's...
No, really?
Assuming there's oils and creams that also have pot in them, which I don't understand how that science works.
CBD oils, sure.
CBD, all that kind of stuff. And then I'm guessing that they're just selling this on the secondary market. But we're always seeing Hyundais, Kias, driven through. I think that's inspired, you know, partly by that Kia Boys craze, where young criminals, specifically young criminals, because
there's a contagion effect for sure.
Yeah,
and the more something is talked about, like we're doing now, the more people get the idea. Hey, this could be the path for me.
So this was just this morning. Yesterday, King 5 had this story. They another cash and grab at another Seattle pot shop. $15,000 burglarized. This is a story from King 5. A Seattle pot shop is once again cleaning up broken glass and debris after an overnight cash and grab burglary about 6 months after this location was also hit. So it's the second time in 6 months that this has been hit. This one's located in the Soto neighborhood. They lost about $15,000 worth of items inside the store. That's to say nothing of the damage done to the store. Now, I know that's probably going to be covered by insurance, but that's still like it's shutting down your business for a while. You're losing a bunch of, you know, days where you could be making sales. And so let's see here. The same shop was hit back in October 2023. The suspect used a vehicle to smash into the front door of the business. They were not able to gain entry into the building in that attempt and abandoned the white Kia. Again, it always seems to be a Kia. When are these going to stop? Well, I don't know what the answer to this is.
There's some tension right now between federal law and state law because recreational marijuana is not legal everywhere in the United States. So a lot of these places deal in cash. That's the other thing, is that there's lots of cash on hand.
Oh, that makes sense.
As well as the
products that they're
saying.
So they're not
taking
credit card payments. They're not taking debit cards. This is
cash. As far as I understand it. And this look, this is a grand experiment right now. Because pot was illegal for the longest time. And with this rollout, it seems like there's going to be some growing pains because a lot of these establishments are kind of guinea pigs right now for what this looks like. And right now we're seeing one of the negative sides of that, which is all these smash and grab crimes. But something clearly has to be done. I don't know if at the state level or just with these individual businesses themselves can do something to thwart these criminals.
Let me ask you a question. How much of this do you think is like the teenagers? I'm assuming, I don't know this. They haven't caught the suspects yet. I'm assuming this seems to be kind of a young person's crime.
Sure.
Because the vehicles that they're using kind of like follow that TikTok trend, that Kia Boys TikTok trend. Mm-hmm. And unless there's like a bunch of 60-year-old dudes out there who are, you know, on TikTok learning how to carjack.
You're playing the odds, but I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah.
That these we're seeing a lot of videos tend to be younger.
We're seeing a lot of videos of like teenagers also who are posting that they're part of this Kia Boys craze. And again, that's on TikTok. They had this video that went around and it was showing you, because of some design flaw with Kias and Hyundais, it's very easy apparently to steal those vehicles. It's like a screwdriver and a USB cord. And so after watching this video for 20 seconds, it would teach you how to steal these vehicles. And so young people started stealing these vehicles. Theft of these vehicles went way, way, way up.
Yep.
I think we played a clip a couple weeks back on my show, Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. Download the podcast. We played a clip of somebody from Bellevue Police Department that was saying, like, yeah, the percentage of increase in Kias and Hyundais that have been stolen is just through the roof. And I'm just thinking, like, are teens no longer these days? I feel old saying teens, but are teens no longer these days?
Are kids these days is what you should have said.
Are kids these days? Are kids these days not worried about being arrested? We do have also laws in Washington State now that make it harder for police to go after vehicles that might even know they're stolen. But if they're not doing certain things, cops won't chase after those vehicles because they don't want to get into traffic, speeding issues. They want to get into a police chase. So do teenagers or kids just feel like the risk versus reward is kind of worth it?
Yeah, I think that has to be part of it. And like I started the segment with saying, I think there's a word of mouth that goes on. And then, you know, people that are nefarious actors see what's going on and go, oh, okay, that's an easy score. I hadn't thought about that before, but I'm seeing it more and more. And there don't seem to be that many repercussions or people caught for this kind of activity.
There's not a lot.
So let's go all out. And they just seize the opportunity that's in front of them.
This is probably TMI. I'm going to ask you this question, though. Have you ever been to jail?
I have not. Have you?
Okay, I have been to jail. I have shared this story on my
show. You've been to jail?
I've been to jail.
You've been incarcerated you visited a jail?
Who was that? Was that John telling us to move on?
That was angry. I was an angry man telling you to
heard it, move on.
That you heard it and to move on.
All right, well, I don't know if everybody's heard it, so I'm going to share the story.
What did you do, Jake?
When I was in college, I was unaware that you had to, this is a silly reason to be arrested, but stick with me. So I was driving a moped in college, as one does when they attend college in Hawaii. Yeah. So I lived in Hawaii for college and everybody drives mopeds there. And so I thought, oh, this is really cool. I love mopeds. I love riding around. It's great. When you go on vacation, these places, you can rent like these 49cc mopeds and you don't have to have a special license plate for them. You can drive them on city roads. They all are under 35 miles an hour and they seem great. So I did not know that the one that I was riding was technically a motorcycle because it was like 150 cc's. So I get pulled over by a cop because I don't have the right licensing on this moped. And they give me a ticket. And then they say, all right, well, we're just going to send it to your dorm. This court summons. You have to show up and argue your case. Of course, because it's the dorm and it's kind of chaotic, it never makes its way to me. So I don't really think anything of it because I don't want to think anything of it. And I'm like happy not to pay this ticket. I just assume, oh, they must have lost it in the mail.
Now, you're above the law.
I'm not above the law. I was ignorant of the law. I was stupid.
Okay, right.
I was young. Teenagers, young, dumb. And so I, you know, flash forward 7 months, I'm driving in a car down by the beach. Stupidly, I didn't have a seatbelt on because I just pulled into the parking lot, but the cop nabbed me. They got me. And I'll admit that. I'm fine admitting it. They pull me out of the vehicle and they say, hey, we just want to let you know that you have a bench warrant for your arrest.
Bum-ba-dum-bum.
Yes. So I, and again, I look young, right? Like I look young right now. Imagine me was in college. I look like a fetus. And so I look like I'm 14 years old. I'm about to go into jail. Uh-huh. They arrest me. They stick me into jail with like a very scary person.
Did you pee your pants?
No comment.
Metaphorically?
No, no comment. Okay. But I was definitely like trying to like hold back tears because I didn't want to go into a lockup situation.
Right.
And have people think that like I wanted them to think like, all right, this guy's hard. He's with somebody you won't want to mess with. But again, I look like I was 14. So it was not a good situation. The whole point is that I'm trying to make for any teenagers out there listening right now, to the sound of my voice, you don't want to go to jail. It is not a fun place. And yes, I was only there for 5 hours. And yes, I was there for a really silly reason. This is a much more serious reason. When teenagers are stealing cars and they're breaking into pot shops, if they catch you, you will go away for a longer period of time, presumably.
But clearly they don't fear the consequences and feel like they can just sort of brazenly get away with this. And all indications seem to be that that's the case right now. I don't hear a lot of stories about these people being caught later and incarcerated for long amounts of time.
Let me tell you what.
And so there's kind of an atmosphere of lawlessness, all which then in turn breeds more lawlessness.
No, you're right. And all you got to do is go to lockup once and you will understand what it's like. I couldn't watch any.
Were you made to be someone's friend, so to speak?
No, no. The whole process is frightening, though. It is one of those things that I would recommend people go to jail. But if you could somehow get into the mindset of what it feels like to be locked up as an adult, it totally changes your perspective.
Yeah.
I wasn't on a wild path. I mean, like everything that I could turn around, I turned it around because I did not want to end up in that place again. It was really, very, very scary. All right, we've talked about this enough. Let's move on. Should we just move to the next story?
Next story. We're diving in. Where's the sound effect?
Is there music that goes along with this?
Andrew. We need a segue sounder. Hello.
Super annoying this right now.
This is the...
All right. Do you want to start this one?
Yeah, sure. So Governor Jay Inslee signed 7 new laws about treating the opioid epidemic, Jake. And I have to say I'm skeptical when I read this story that this is going to have any real effect
you think this
on
was
the
just
overdose
for show?
Crisis here. Here's my problem with this. So... there's more than 2,700 overdose deaths in the year 2022. 68% of them were from fentanyl. Police and paramedics across the state responded to 2,000 suspected overdoses every month last year.
Wow.
So the measures that are put into place are going to mean that there's more money for treatment programs and more Narcan out there amongst the people.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take this in bullet points here. More money for treatment programs. First question I have is, what if a person doesn't want help? What if they don't want treatment?
Yeah.
Okay, you cannot coerce someone into rehabilitation. That has to be a choice. So you could spring up all the treatment facilities in the world you want. If people don't want to get off the drug, they're not going to do anything. Second bullet point, more money for Narcan. Okay, so you might increase the chances in some instances of saving the life of someone who has overdosed. I'm skeptical and believe that the effects of the overall overdose numbers will be negligible at best in terms of what that affects. We still have not combated the fundamental issue here, which is that many young people, especially young people, are choosing drugs in the first place. So I was trying to think of a metaphor for this. Say, and it's probably a bit crude on its surface, but say you have a steering wheel that's faulty and it's leading to all these traffic fatalities, and the car maker says, well, let's put some new screws in it and maybe that'll help it by the problem by 10%. Well, you still haven't addressed the fundamental issue of the faulty steering wheel. You have to go to the root of the issue to truly address it. Otherwise, I think, to mix metaphors, it's just putting a Band-Aid on someone or something that's bleeding out.
On a steering wheel. It's putting Band-Aid on a steering wheel.
Well, I used 2 metaphors there. And yeah, it was a bit clumsy, but I think you get the point, which is you're not going to the root issue here, which is so many people are choosing drugs in the first place. And why don't we address that? Because that raises all kinds of uncomfortable issues about home life, values, culture, domestic situations, fathers in the home, belief systems, far more complicated topics to address than just, let's circulate more Narcan out there and build more rehabilitation facilities.
We have some audio here. This is Jay Inslee signing the bill into law, and they actually, the law is named after a 17-year-old. This is a tragic story, and it's a scary one as a
very
parent.
Tragic, yes.
The law is named after a 17-year-old who was just smoking what he thought was marijuana. Mm-hmm. He didn't realize that it was laced with fentanyl, and it cost him his life. Listen to this story in King 5.
Hundreds gather on the Tulalip Reservation to celebrate passage of new laws to fight the opioid crisis. It's a bittersweet day for Maria Petty. It's a day she's been both looking forward to and dreading.
Very excited and happy to see it getting signed into law. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a reminder that this law's here because my son isn't.
Maria's son Lucas died 17 months ago after smoking marijuana laced with fentanyl. He was just 16 years old. Now, the Lucas Petty Act will mandate fentanyl education in health classes across the state. Maria says even the best parents can be caught off guard by the deadly drug.
I felt safe in my home. I felt confident in my parenting. And I am here because my child is not.
The seven new laws range from more money for treatment programs to the opioid overdose antidote Narcan now being supplied in all schools across the state.
This is such a scary topic, and one every single parent out there, just this is a nightmare scenario. I would love to talk about this more. Just coincidentally, before we even knew we were talking about this story today, I had a conversation with my young kids. I have three sons right now, 8, 6, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure out how to discuss this topic with them, like, so they don't pick up things on the ground. Because
yeah.
They're still at the age where, like, they might pick up a piece of candy that they see. But oftentimes, fentanyl comes in, and it looks like, you know, it looks sure. like a jelly bean or whatever it looks like. You know, it looks like a Skittle. So that scares the heck out of me, because what if my kids pick up one of these things? It's the scary story. So let's come back to that a little later in the show.
I just think we need to redouble our efforts on getting young people to not choose any type of drug in the first place. And I think you'd see a bigger effect on the
totally.
Overdose death toll.
Yeah, absolutely.
The John Curley and Sherry Ellicker show continues. Greg Talman and Jake Skorheim sitting in, the dynamic duo today. How's that 401k looking, Jake? Dow Jones Industrial Average record highs closed at 39,512 today, up 401 points. My goodness.
What is a 401k?
So savings?
Such a great question. That's, I ask myself that every day.
So it's something. Why is it called 401?
Good question.
Can we get the Google machine on that?
Yeah, if only there was somebody to find out.
Yeah, I mean, things are looking up for the economy, at least by one measure, which is a very good, healthy sign for
that's
a
great.
Society. So I was pleased to see that today. But here's the thing. If you've been sitting on the sidelines and waiting for that dip, it's not coming. We just you just got to get in. If you're thinking about investing at any time, throw the money in there. There's going to be an inevitable crash at some point. But it's so hard to predict the market. So unpredictable.
Can't do it.
Anyways, I'm going into this next story blind. Jake, you have something to regale me with, as well as the listening audience, a folksy anecdote of sorts.
This is a folksy anecdote, yeah. So the other day, fairy stories are very, very interesting, I think, to our listeners, because we all end up in the fairy line. We do a ton of stories on the Washington State Ferry System.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys been covering this as well? Like, the Washington State Ferry System is very frustrating because normally they should have something like 21 boats operating, and as we get closer into the summertime now, as people are starting to line up at the ferry terminals, you're waiting longer and longer. There's seasonal struggles, and the reason you're waiting longer and longer is for a number of reasons. One, they're usually down a bunch of boats. Like, we just got an email last night. We get these updates from the Washington State Ferry System where it says, "Oh, we've got a boat down on this line, which means we're moving this boat to here,
mm-hmm.
and this boat to here, which means we're going to be down so many boats." So very often they're operating at like 2/3 capacity. They should have 21, 22 boats running, but sometimes they're running as little as like 12 or 13 boats, which means that we end up sitting and waiting for a very, very long time on these lines. The other thing, which is a real bummer about these ferry lines, is you find that often it's not even the boats that are having issues. And these boats are old. A lot of these are like, some of these boats that they're running are 60 years old. It's not always boat issues. Sometimes it's just staffing issues. Like, they will have like not enough staff. Now, I don't know how you can run a ferry system and not know that you need more staff, but that's something they need to figure out. But this happened to me over the weekend, and I want to share this story with you guys. So Saturday, my wife and I decide, because it's a super nice sunny day, what would be the funnest thing we could do in the world? Why don't we go sit in the car with the kids for a long time? So we decide to go over to my in-laws' house. My in-laws live over near Port Townsend.
Okay.
So we can either go north around Whidbey Island, take the boat, you know, over Deception Pass and take whatever boat that is. We could go south. We could drive all the way down to Tacoma and we could try to get over the bridge and all that stuff. Or we could take the Edmonds-Kingston Ferry. And this time of year, mid-March, there probably is not going to be a ton of traffic getting on that boat.
Sounds great in theory.
Sounds great in theory. The problem is that the ferry system is in such a cluster right now.
Mm-hmm.
We waited almost 3 hours when we got into that line. And
nice.
You know what I'm talking about? Like anybody listening who's taken the Edmonds Ferry, you come down out of the city of Edmonds and you go down that big long hill and you're kind of like dreading looking around the corner to see like, oh, is it backed
every
up?
Every moment you inch closer, you're thinking, yes, 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 but yes, I'm waiting for
and
the slap in the face.
And then you see that line of cars and it's just like terror. Have you, do you take that ferry often?
My grandparents lived in Bremerton, so sometimes we would take the ferry. I've gone to Bainbridge Island a few times, but not recently.
Okay. So it hasn't changed much. It's actually gotten worse. So what happened was we get into this line. It's pretty far up the hill. So we're pretty far up the hill to start with. Almost, I mean, it's ridiculous. So we're waiting. We're about an hour 15 in, and we're just sitting in my truck because we're going to go get some stuff from my
whole family.
The whole family. We're bringing some stuff out to them from storage. So we have a ton of stuff. We're loaded down with stuff, which is why we took the truck and not the van. If we had known we were going to be in the car for 6 hours that day,
total,
which is what we were wait total on each side, 3 hours on each side waiting for these boats, obviously I would never have done it. I would not voluntarily sit in the car with my three sons for almost any price, but I certainly wouldn't do it in my truck, which means they are literally like breathing down my neck sitting behind me. So we're sitting there, but that's not the issue. We're sitting there. That's my fault. In the truck, but we're about an hour 15 in. Traffic is moving at a snail's pace. You're just like slowly, like car by car going down the hill. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see this big giant U-Haul truck who's bombing down the hill, comes down the hill. And for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's the friendly look that I have plastered on my face all the time, but
sure,
he thinks that I'm just a moron. And he pulls up next to me and he stops. And again, there's probably 150, 200 cars
puts on the blinker
behind me. Not yet. He sits there, and because it's Seattle and because people are weird in this town, he doesn't actually make eye contact with me. He kind of just like looks ahead of me. You can't see this because this is an audio medium. It's not visual, but if you're watching the cameras, he's just looking ahead of me as if projecting where he hopes the U-Haul will magically appear, which is right in front of my car in the line of the ferry boat waiting line that we've already been in for like an hour and change.
Right. Did you flash a look of askance back at him?
The first thing I did was like look over at my wife. I'm like, is this guy serious? Like, is he?
What's your most judgy face that you could have flashed towards him? Sorry, I'm interrupting.
Well, again, no, well, it's audio medium. It basically looks like my face I have right now. I don't have a whole lot of like expression.
Resting judgy face.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, that's like a resting smiley face, which is probably why he picked me.
That's what
but
you
anyway,
think.
So he pulls up next to me and he sits there and now traffic is starting to build behind him, which I think he is assuming like the onus is then transferred over to me to let him in so that I'm going to let traffic pass. And again, he's in a big U-Haul truck. And so my wife's like, don't let him in. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, I'm not going to let him in. It's ridiculous. Like, have a little confidence in your husband. And so I don't let him in. And I'm not going to let him in. I'm like, he doesn't even understand. With three kids in the car, I'm looking for a fight at this point. I'm like, I'm on edge.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm on
edge. Sun's out, guns out.
I need a win. And the sun was out. Saturday was a beautiful day. Super nice. So there's a lot of traffic going down into Edmonds.
Guns, muscles. We're not talking firearms.
No, no, no,
but continue.
No. Yeah, sun's out, buns out would be a better one. But anyway, so he's in the U-Haul truck. He's sitting there. And after about 2 minutes, no joke, which is a long time to just sit there and do nothing, I'm like, and at this point now, I'm looking over my shoulder at him. I'm just like, I have no problem just making eye contact with him. I'm trying to, at least. He's not making eye contact with me.
Staring contest now.
Yeah, well, he's kind of youngish. I don't know.
Game of chicken.
Yeah, and he's hoping that I just will give way.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. I stand strong. I hold the line. And so he then clicks on his blinker. As if I don't understand what he's trying to do, as if the blinker is going to be some magic password that suddenly gets him in on the line. Here's the cool thing about this situation, though. Again, we're an hour and change. We're waiting in the hill. The bond that you form with the people waiting in line with you to get on a ferry boat.
They wanted you to hold your ground.
Oh, my gosh. No.
They wanted you to act as a bulwark against an intrusion from this U-Haul.
No, there are two. There are two. And I've never been to war, so I don't know if this analogy actually works out. But there are two times in life that you can so quickly establish a bond with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the trenches.
Sure.
Fighting in battle. It's waiting
on the Western Front.
Yeah, or it's waiting in the line for a ferry boat, watching somebody somebody try to cut in front of you.
Right.
I don't let him in at all. I don't.
Good for you.
He sits there for about 5 minutes, which is a long time. Traffic is building up behind him. Some guy finally rolls down his window and does the universal, like, turn it around, buddy. And then like 15, 16 people start doing it. We're all doing it together. Like we all speak this common language now. I tell you what, my soul was singing. I was so excited.
You should run for office.
I was so excited. This guy, yes.
Love is an always on time.
I felt great. I felt great. It felt like a win. And I felt like I'm doing this for everyone. Like, I don't want to call myself a hero, whatever. Other people have said it. I'm not going to say it. But I felt like I was doing something special and important.
This was your own personal Oregon Trail. I mean.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, it was in a way. But he didn't get in line. He didn't get in line that day. And he's not getting in line in front of me ever. So
the
my
moral
story.
Of the story is?
Just don't let people cut in line. It's wrong. It's evil. That guy should just go straight to you know where.
What time of the day was this, by the way?
This was at about noon on a Saturday.
Oh, you don't want to take the ferry after like 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I know that now, Andrew. Thank you.
That's the moral of the story. Don't take the ferry past 7 a.m.
Don't take the ferry boat.
You have more fortitude than I do.
Would you have let him in?
I tend to try to choose the avenue that will deflate tensions as quickly as possible.
Big mistake.
And I call it being a peacemaker. You probably call it being a wuss.
No, I wouldn't.
But I would have been like, have your way. I don't want to start anything here. Like, if I would have let him in just in that instant, a couple cars behind me would have been mad for 30 seconds, but it wouldn't have been a showdown. I never know
dude.
Who I'm dealing
no.
with. Who's that person who's trying to be a jerk right now?
No.
And if I try to meet him where he's at,
mistake.
I mean, all bets are off.
You know what? Let us know on the.
I can't endorse.
Let us know on the Marcos River Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476.
Fernando said on the text line, he said, Jake, great. It's day 5 of your ferry boat anger.
Yes, I told this story on my show already. By the way, download the podcast, Kyra Nice with Jake Skorheim.
The John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show, Greg Tomlin and Jake Skorheim in today. Jake, what's your all-time favorite dessert?
I'm a great fan of pie. I actually ate half an apple pie between yesterday, last night, and this morning.
A dessert with fruit in it? Like apple pie?
Yeah, apple pie.
Raspberry
pie? Yeah, Dutch apple pie.
No, thanks.
Yummy.
Hard pass. My all-time favorite is a fresh chocolate chip cookie right out of the oven. There's nothing better on God's green earth. If I'm feeling frisky, maybe add a little vanilla ice cream to that. So behold, a Philadelphia-based late-night cookie company is planning to open its first Seattle location in the U District. Why? Well, because there's lots of students there. This is going to be just blocks from the University of Washington's campus. This company is called Insomnia Cookies, maybe a competitor to Crumble. Cookie stores seem to be all the craze right
have
now.
Have you gone to Crumble?
I have. Of course I've gone.
Okay,
look at me. Have I gone to Crumble? Do I look like someone who's gone to Crumble?
I have not.
Look at the waistline.
Is it good? Is Crumble good?
People talk about it. If you get them fresh, they're excellent. Sometimes they put a little too much frosting on their weird cookies.
Is it a place where people wait in line?
It is one of those places in many instances.
We'll get to cookies.
One near
in just
Crossroads
second.
Mall. But anyways, neither here nor there.
No, it is here nor there. Quick question. Quick question.
Okay.
Why do people wait in line for stuff like that? Do you wait in line for stuff like that?
We're all just animals and we see what the herd does and we go, people are in line. I must have to stand in line as well. Must be something I can't miss.
Doesn't it make you so angry though I know we were just talking about lines. Clearly you guys know I hate lines, but when you see a line for food, doesn't it drive you crazy that somebody would stand in line for a
cookie? No. Those are some of the best places to eat. You ever go to California and the In-N-Out Burger? There's always like 50 people there because they have the best burger.
Well,
that's where you want to eat.
That's true.
So this Insomnia Cookies uses this app for delivery options for their hot, fresh and cookies and ice cream. It sounds like propaganda. But they're open till 3 a.m., which is kind of a wild thing. So I remember in college, everybody gets the munchies, whether you're smoking the jazz cabbage or not. In our late night food establishment of choice was called Pizza Pipeline in Spokane. I went to Whitworth College.
I've heard of Pipeline.
It was just down the street. Their pizza back in the day, I'd give it a 6 out of 10, but, you don't
pretty
discriminate
good.
When you're 18 years old, a freshman, and you're playing ping pong at like 1 a.m. and that place is still open. But they had something called Tricky Sticks there. These Tricky Sticks,
family friendly,
Jake.
Family friendly.
Yeah. Do you have any like lustful music over there, Andrew, like George Michael or something like that? But anyways, so what they would do with these Tricky Sticks is it was twisted dough. that they would lather up with butter.
Like a breadstick.
Yeah. And they'd put it in the oven. Then they'd put cinnamon and sugar all over it. And then they'd give you like a half cup of this cream cheese.
Can you say it slower?
Frosting dipping sauce.
Say it louder. You guys heard of ASMR? Just describe what you're describing. And just do it a little slower.
And you would look at these tricky sticks and think, I know I have a girlfriend, but I'm in love. I'm in love with this.
These are really good.
Forget the freshman 15. For me, it was the freshman 50. Thank you, Tricky Sticks.
Is it a, what is the cinnamon roll place? Cinnabon. Does it feel like a Cinnabon type of a deal?
10 times better than a Cinnabon.
Tricky Sticks. Okay.
But I just want to caution you college students out there who might be really excited about the late night orders of your insomnia cookies. It only takes 40 days to develop a new habit. Try two semesters.
Okay.
And what you're looking at here on the video live stream at Cairo Radio is what you get. Everything in moderation, kids. Enjoy those insomnia cookies, but do it with caution.
I love it.